Hello, my name's Sky, and I'm going to be talking to you today about Etherboots. First, just a rundown of what Etherboots is. It's a ROM bootloader, i.e. it's software for creating ROM images that can download and boot from the network. Etherboot can be used with pretty much any type of file system, a network file system. There are various network file systems, as you probably know. A RAM disk, it can be used with a local file system, so it's quite versatile. Today I'm going to be talking about it from the perspective of clustering, and in this setting it would be used to boot many slave nodes from a central static kernel image. For this particular use, the main benefits from this are the ability to have central management and not have to worry about media and running around nodes and putting disks in and taking disks out and running around again, and basically makes things a lot more easy and a lot more scalable. You could just add nodes ad hoc and have them PXE boot or Etherboot over the network. Much easier. Okay, so what do we have to do to make use of Etherboot? The most arguably the most important thing is your network card. You need to have a network card that can that is PXE capable. What this means basically is that the card can load a network bootloader at bootloader from a server. I mean, it's not absolutely really necessary. You can use a floppy and burn the ROM onto that, or you can even flash the ROM into your BIOS. However, it's a much more elegant solution to actually have it pull the ROM over the network. A much easier solution as well. Okay, other software that we need in order to make network booting of diskless nodes possible. A DHCP server, obviously. We need a way to provide the slave nodes with network addressing, and DHCP server would do this. The boot ROMs generally have RIP, reverse address resolution protocol, built into them, so that as soon as the card pulls the ROM over the network, it will start broadcasting the slave node's MAC address, at which time the DHCP server will see that, take note, and accordingly assign whatever type of addressing it's been configured to assign. Okay, the next bit of software we need, a TFTP server. Once the slave node has its addressing, it will hopefully initiate a TFTP session and request a kernel. TFTP is useful in this setting. It's probably one of the only settings that it's actually useful anymore, but in this setting it's useful because it's a very 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 lightweight FTP server basically, and it requires no login. So it's just a case of a directory is shared on the server, and that's its security model. It only shares one directory. It only allows the sharing of one directory. And so the slave node requests the kernel image, which has been tagged with Etherboot. I'll explain tagging in a minute. And pulls it over the network. The next bit of software we will need. I mean, it's not in this isn't set in stone. You could use any file system. You could use a RAM disk. You could use GFS, which is how we are implementing our cluster. You could use, well, basically a local file system. You could use anything really, but you do need a file system because, and as you well know, any kernel node, whatever, is useless without it. So yeah, we need to use NFS to allow the node to mount a file system. Right. The other thing we need is a bit of software called MKMBI, which stands for Make Network Boot Image, bootable image, for loading. This is for loading by a ROM bootloader. It basically makes the kernel image bootable over the network. A regular kernel image hasn't got the information in it in order for it to be pulled across the network in this manner. So what the Make a Network Boot Image software does is tag this information onto it so that it can be recognized by the bootloader. Right, before we actually get into this, we need to think about a few things. There's a few things you need to put into place to make sure that you're all set up and ready to start the procedures for Ethernet booting. Obviously, the first consideration we have is the kernel. We need to ensure that everything that we need compiled into the kernel is compiled into the kernel. Obviously, if we're using NFS, we need NFS support. I would have this compiled directly into the kernel, as opposed to modules. And those, if you just get grep out and grep your .config file, which should be in your user source Linux directory, you should just be able to grep for these options. Greps, which basically ignores the case. Config underscore NFS underscore files FS. That should be a Y. And basically all these options should have a Y next to them. Config underscore root underscore FS, Y. Obviously, I mean, I've never known a kernel not to have these compiled in, but reverse address resolution protocol, DHCPC, the ability to use DHCP, IP connection tracking, IP multicasting, and obviously TCP/IP IP tables. As I said, those last ones usually are in pretty much every default kernel anywhere. But if you're a Gen 2 user or something like that, and you do compile your own kernels, you may have missed a couple of these things. So just give it a look. Just flick through my notes here. Okay, I've gone through how it works, kind of, but I'll just run through it sequentially. As the events happen, this is basically what happens. The PXE capable node loads the ROM image over the network. The ROM software broadcasts the node's MAC over the LAN using reverse address resolution protocol. The DHCP server provides the slave node with the IP addressing which the ROM software uses to bring up the network interface of the node. Once the slave is correctly addressed and on the network, it initiates a TFTP session request for the kernel image stored on the server. If using Etherboot, it will be requesting a tagged kernel. If using TruePXE, which I haven't really gone into and I don't intend to, but there is information on the Etherboot wiki, and that is situated at www.etherboot.org/wiki/doc. PXE basically allows the true usage of a network bootloader. Etherboot is slightly it's slightly different in that you, as I've explained, you have to tag the kernel so that Etherboot recognizes the kernel and can pull it over the network. Okay, right, from there what we need to do is just run over the various things we need to configure. So we've gone over basically what is happening, and now just going over what we need to configure. So the first thing we really need to do is, once we've sorted the kernel out, is set up a DHCP server, CP. I won't go into all the options. I'm sure if you actually want to do this, you'll find a good how-to. There are loads of them out there. But yeah, you need to configure a DHCP server. You have to ensure that your networking is working fine, and you do have IP config multicast support enabled. And just as a check, just run ifconfig whatever your interface is multicast, and then just have a look at that interface ifconfig a or ifconfig interface name, and it'll tell you whether you've actually got multicast support. Obviously, the way you configure DHCP CD will depend very much on how you intend to address your Ether booted network, whatever you might be using it for. But there are some good how-tos on how to do this. I always find, no matter what distribution I'm using, that the Gentoo documentation tends to be pretty much the best. Even if you're using Mepis or SUSE or something, if you take out all the Gentoo specific stuff like the eMERGE, the portage system, and just look at the actual raw information, it'll stand you in good stead for basically every distribution. So there is a very good dist list how-to at Gentoo, www.gentoo.org/doc/en/diskless-how-to.xml. This will run you through DHCP server configuration, and also the other type of configuration that we really need to run through is obviously a trivial file transfer protocol daemon setup. Obviously, this is pretty much totally necessary. Otherwise, you have no real way to share your kernel image. So once we've configured DHCP CD, we need to configure Trivial File Transfer Protocol Server. It's reasonably easy to do this, and the Gentoo documentation again would serve you very well in helping you to do this. What else? Excuse me a second. NFS. For this, basically any file system could be used. As I mentioned before, a RAM disk could be used, anything like that, local file system could be used. However, for the purpose of this, NFS is what I'll be mentioning. So I'm just using NFS as an example, basically. As long as a file system is made available to the slave node, it's fine, it doesn't really matter what file system you use. Basically, what the slave node will do is it will look in the TFTP boot directory, which is a shared directory, and underneath there should be a directory for each node that you're booting, or each system that you're booting, and this directory will basically be named the IP address of the node, and that's where the kernel will defaultly look for its root file system. Obviously, you could set it up differently. From a clustering perspective, we would want each node to share exactly the same file system, so there'd be one file system, and each node would obviously be working as one, as far as it can be seen as one. So I would personally use iSCSI GFS, which I will talk about in a later show. So NFS. You don't have to actually have a fully functional working file system in each IP-specific directory in the TFTP boot directory. Or you basically just need a login shell and init scripts, the init binary, and any dynamically linked libraries that are needed to run those bits of software. So basically, if you just run LDD on the binaries that you copy over, you'll find out exactly what libraries you'll need to copy over. That's basically it on NFS. Again, I can't plug Gentoo documentation enough, but you'll definitely find a very good method of setting up NFS on Gentoo documentation. Right, I think that pretty much covers everything. I'm sure there are a few things I've missed. In fact, I know of one now. I haven't covered actually how to generate the Etherboot images, but you really don't need to. There's a really, really, really good site, and it's called Rom-O-Matic, and it's at www.romomatic.net. And there are choices of which Etherboot release you're using, and if you just go into one of those, you'll be able to pick your network card from a list. If it's not on there, maybe one that's close to your network card might work, or you could try generating your card. But I think most of the PXE capable cards are actually on here, so if yours isn't on here, then the chances are that you're going to have to use a boot floppy or something like that to do this. But yeah, if your card's on the list, you can just download a pre-generated, a dynamically generated Etherboot ROM image, which is just one less thing to do, really. Another good URL, or another necessary URL, is the MKMBI software, the Mate Network bootable image. You'll need this if you're using Etherboot, and this is at www.etherboot.org/wiki/MKMBI, and there's a very, very, very good description there of exactly how it works and exactly what you need to do in order to make your kernel image bootable, or tag your kernel image. That pretty much covers it, I think. I'm usually found on irc.hackervoice.co.uk in the HCR channel, or I'm usually found on irc.bimrev.net in the Bimrev UK channel. If you have any questions, gripes, contradictions, whatever, I'm quite happy to natter all day, really. So yeah, I could be found there, and this has been Twat Tech Radio. I have been Squy, and I hope you have a very good day.